Rally to me, Escalonians! You'll never conquer Ascalon!
Hello, and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls explode in candy corn with one grumpy pants. I am Hashtag, and I am joined, as always, by Hunter and Alona.
Hello. Hello.
So before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon.
Not that anyone ever emails us anything.
We didn't ask anyone to on Twitter.
That's right. We didn't put out requests this week, so.
So there's no mail. No. I hope you're all happy.
We usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Alona, would you like to start us off?
I would, and I have almost nothing to say, apparently, because I, even though I have this calendar at my desk to write down what I've done in-game, I have not written anything down. So it was once again relying on you guys to remember what I had done, because I failed. But I did get the Griffin mount, finally. I still have not got enough XP to, like, even start the masteries on that. Like, I think I'm almost done the first, so I have a ways to go to unlock all of it, but I do have it. I got out of decay in the PvP League season, but I'm pretty sure that it ended with me right back in with decay because, you know, I had not been around quite as much and played as much PvP this season, but I don't think I did a whole lot since the expansion drop, so I never really experienced playing against some of the newer elites specializations. Mm-hmm. So it would be interesting to see how that goes next time, once more people have more experience with them. We did have missions the previous week, which were fun, as always. We did a bunch of... I think we did all the easy and maybe one medium track, but we also, because they didn't take quite as long, we ended up running a Crucible of Eternity Fungeon, which I caused us to wipe several times because I'm not very good at leading fungeons, because I think we had six people on, Hunter, and you said that you would bow out and the rest of us would go through it, and you're usually our fungeon Sherpa.
And I think it sounded like you did fine.
Oh, we wiped a bunch of times. It was all my fault because I didn't know what I was doing and I couldn't remember because I'm usually on follow mode, let's be honest. And then I missed missions this week because I was getting a final camping trip in before it got too cold. So that's, I did not do, and I think you said missions ended up not happening, Hunter, this week.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They don't happen without you because of your cult of personality.
You just need to pretend to guilt kick people. It's all empty threats, totally guilt kick people.
I noticed the other day that I don't even have permissions to invite people, so.
You should. I will look into that. Well, you should. And a couple of things I hadn't done in a while, actually. The Claw of Jormag daily was yesterday, and Twilight Arbor Fungin was also a daily recently, and so we did those, and I hadn't done those in quite a long time. I was trying to remember the last time I did Claw of Jormag, and I honestly could not remember. So it was nice to hop in, and because it was the daily, it was tons of people there doing it. One thing that I don't think I'll ever get sick of is Casino Blitz in Amnoon Oasis.
That was like the one thing I saw you doing in Path of Fire the past 2 weeks was like Casino Blitz every day.
That's true.
Well, not every day, but it was like, it's one of the hours that Casino Blitz is on. Gotta go. I love I love Casino Blitz. It's super fun. And I did a few rounds of mastery point hunting. I need a lot more. I wrote down here a few more. I need a lot more than a few.
Due to finally getting Griffin.
Yes. Yes. So that I can finish off Griffin. And I think there were a few that I was finding pretty challenging to get to, and you guys ended up having to help me to find them. Like,
some of them were just kind of group events, not necessarily...
Well, I'm thinking specifically of the one in the southeast area of Crystal Oasis, the Glints that I had a heck of a time with that one.
Yeah, I sort of stumbled into that area, like, multiple times with my Springer.
I had Springer. I had it fully unlocked. I could not. Yeah. It just didn't happen. And then, of course, as of yesterday, Halloween a patch happened. And so I've been kind of going, well, I was going to say going berserk in there. But, I mean, I'm not in there. All my time in game has been doing Halloween stuff, basically, at this point. One of the things I did do is I used five of the gifted Black Lion keys that I had received. Mm-hmm. I used five of them. And on the first or second key, I got the full set of spooky mount miniatures. So I was super excited.
Yeah, congratulations.
They're just an uncommon drop, though. Like, they're not, like, rare or anything. They're, you know, great. Uncommon.
Yeah.
So, and I just used five, and I'm not entirely sure. I can't decide if I want to use any more for this set or if I want to wait. I think I might wait for when the guaranteed item switches again to see what it is.
Yeah, yeah, I'm doing the same. Yeah.
I doubt this Evan Nashblade tot bag is any good.
It's not bad, actually. You get a fair number of kind of... I don't know if we want to talk about this later on, but you get a fair number of like the gray items that just sell for stuff, and you can get one that sells for 5 gold to the vendor.
Meh.
So it has some stuff like that in there. So
yeah,
that was...
don't give people a chance at all the gem store stuff. Just throw some gold at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why people buy Black Lion chess keys.
These were gifted.
Doesn't they make it better. Gift.
A little bit.
Did to me. So anyway, that's basically all I did. If I remember anything, I will be sure to interrupt anything anybody else is saying and blurt it.
Okay.
Blurt it out later on. Hunter, please begin your essay.
Okay. Where to start? I've been doing a hard target search of every point of interest, hero point, mastery point, collection achievement, escort achievement, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in a 10-mile radius of Alona. And, I just spent so much time doing, like, achievements. I finished zone completion of each zone and all mastery insights in Path of Fire. I finished all achievements in Crystal Oasis, Desert Highlands, and Elan Riverlands, except for nap time. Have not done much in Vabby yet. I've been working on achievements in the Desolation the past few days. Some of the achievements take much longer to do. For instance, Portal Spiker at the Mouth of Torment. It requires you to progress the meta event there and take a spike and then spike it into the portal 100 times to complete it. And of course, it is tied into meta achievement for other achievements in Desolation. So I have to do it to, like, get completion. Yeah. Like, I can't not do it. It's achievement points. And along with... There's also the Shadow Handler events, which also ties into the meta achievement, and I have to deliver intel to the Handler 100 times or something. And due to those two achievements, I would actually say that I don't like... Achievos for Desolation as much as I do for the other zones. It's been a lot of fun doing the achievements, and then I got to Desolation, and I'm kind of annoyed by a few of the achievements in that zone, just because Portal Spiker, whatever it's called, it's going to take forever, and it's really kind of disheartening. That said, I've really enjoyed numerous achievements in the other zones and in Desolation. The races are a lot of fun. I've greatly enjoyed the Griffin Mastery adventures. Mm-hmm. I know Hashtag didn't really like when she tried the Griffin Mastery adventure. Is that right?
It wasn't that I didn't
like it. It was that I'm not very good at it.
Well, I think it just takes a little practice and then you'll be like mastering it. I did find one of them in the Desolation to be a pain in the arse. I think it was the Master one over the Mouth of Torment. And just couldn't quite get to 30 seconds and beat it. Took me like an hour and a half, whereas all the other ones took way less time than that to get the full achievements. The mini dungeon in the Desert Highlands is fantastic. I love it.
I don't know if I've done it.
I don't think it has like a whole lot of replayability, but like just going through it the first time is really great.
I haven't done it at all. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it is.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. I think it would be really great if you go in there blind.
Oh yes.
Maybe with a guide if you get stuck on some stuff. But I highly recommend to anybody to like go over to. What is it? Something Delve? Derelict Delve. And find the mini dungeon. You'll know when you find it. It's really great.
I feel like I may have, actually.
Yeah, you may be. Yeah, we were in there hanging out.
And just didn't know.
Yes.
Plus there's that breaking the bank thing over there as well.
Is the floor see-through?
Yes.
Then I have been. How do I say this as vaguely as possible? Yes, I've been in there, but I don't think I finished it. I think I got hung up somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite achievements have been the scavenger hunts that are in every zone. Those have been so much fun for me. I mean, they're pretty straightforward, you know, like look for this type of chest and open them when you see them. But some of them are harder to find than others, and just finding them and going by the hints is, for me, just like, I don't know, fun.
Fun?
Yeah.
I cannot say too many times how much I love that they've added hints.
Mm,
yes,
definitely. In for those.
It's perfect.
But there's the Sulfur-Worn Coins one in Desolation. There's the Forgotten Debris. There's the Mastery Point Shoddy's shopping list in Elon Riverlands. That one was fun. And there's another Mastery Point in there.
The magic hunt.
Unstable magic or something like that. Mm-hmm. I love getting to know the zones via those scavenger hunts and traveling all over the zones looking for stuff. That's probably the funnest thing for me.
Well, they did say they were bringing exploration back, so...
Yeah.
So,
moving on from Path of Fire a little bit, I started to dive into the Halloween achievements yesterday, because there's so many achievement points. Well, there's so many achievement points up for grabs.
Achievement points!
Sorry. Gotta keep it ahead of my rival. Lots of easy points to get, so don't miss out if you're listening. And in all honesty, I've hated the carving achievement since it came out year one for Halloween. And the fact that it is back and requires like 1,000 pumpkins grinds my gears.
I don't know. See, so this is different. So, you know, like I hear you on the portal spike, but the pumpkins, I feel like you're in the lab anyway. You just kind of work away at it. It's not like you have to, you know, it's not as onerous as it could be.
There's only like 20 pumpkins in the lab in one instance. So you either have to switch maps if you really want to get some progress done on pumpkins or you have to switch maps.
True.
So I did 6 rounds of the Lunatic Inquisition, which is not something I would normally do because I don't really like South Sun Survival that much. And Lunatic Inquisition is basically South Sun Survival, only it's in the Labyrinth. So basically, I just find a hiding spot and stay there until a round is
over. Yeah. That's the Alona special.
Yes.
Load up on as much food as you can, find a cubby, and hide.
I don't think there is food or...
For South Sun, that's what I do.
There is food. There is food.
Well, there's stuff. There's weapons. I don't know if there's food.
No, no, no. There's food. There is food.
Okay. Is it candy?
It just says food, and you pick it up, and it will restore your health.
Okay.
I did.
But is there food?
Yes. Okay, so I toured around the labyrinth a few times, you know, finishing off the bosses because there's an achievement to kill the bosses like several times. Except it's getting hard to like kill the bosses because the farmers don't want to kill the bosses because it slows them down. So it's hard to find an instance where they're actually killing bosses. So I'm having trouble getting the achievement points for that.
I was looking for group, and there was probably 30 labs being advertised, and they were all like, no bosses! Screw the bosses! Bosses are terrible! We're not doing bosses! I'm like, but I need one of them! I was very sad.
I did Ascent to Madness twice. Once with the RO, once with Mach, and I got all of the armor boxes for
you
doing the
led
various...
us to our doom.
I tried to help you guys out.
No, you let us. So he goes here, guys. And you just jump off here. And he jumps down. He's fine, and we all jump. The rest of us die, and so he was like, "Oh, I forgot I had the fall damage trait." So we died.
Yeah, it was your own fault. And I donated 5,000 candy corn to Drew Burt to finish that off forever, I hope. So that was like 25 achievement points. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did the race in the lab a few times, and I think it might actually be the funnest race in the game. I haven't actually done the Vabby race yet.
I do like the Vabby race, but I like this race. I like the tight corners. It's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
I like how many times at the end people take the wrong turn.
I do every time.
And apparently you get like a magic find boost if you win, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. So I've mostly seen people running that race with the raptors, but I have seen, I think, Griffin and Dust Peppers a little bit.
I think Raptor is probably your best bet.
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, also I have the 6 armor boxes and I'm planning on completing the full skin sets, which you need to do if you want to complete the full Mad Memories backpack scavenger hunt thing. There's like the 2 old skins, like the normal book and the burning book, and then there's a new skin, and then if you finish all of the new armor skins, there's a 4th skin. So I'm planning on completing the whole thing. And I'm about 3/4 of the way through.
I have not started, but I would like to get the rest of the 2 that I don't have. Because there was just 2 initially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe like after the show, we could just do the first 2 tiers with you and Hashtag. Hashtag needs it too, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
I did unlock it about 10 minutes ago, but that's it.
I'm not even sure if I have it unlocked, actually.
Mm-hmm. And that is what I did this week. Hashtag, what did you do this week?
So the biggest news for me is that I got a new computer.
Oh, huzzah! My God.
Holy crap.
So I have a PC now, which has completely changed my gaming life.
And you are basically a superhero.
No.
This is... But Hunter tweeted that out, so we have to go with it.
And nobody asked her about her superpowers.
So, I am now regularly getting 60 FPS plus at high settings. So, full high settings. And tonight I logged in and I had 105 FPS. Wow. doing a jumping puzzle with high FPS is a completely different experience, obviously.
Hence the superpower thing. You're like, oh.
Just to clarify for those who don't listen to every episode or whatever, Hashtag was playing on a Mac laptop. It was a MacBook Pro, and she did not use a mouse. She was using the trackpad on the laptop, and that blows my goddamn mind.
Yeah. I didn't use the trackpad to control my movement. I did all my movement with a combination of the arrow keys and the WASD.
When did you get the MacBook Pro?
Well,
it was less than a year ago, right?
A year ago, yeah.
Okay. And before that, what were you playing on?
A MacBook Air.
There, I just needed to hear that again.
And you stopped using the MacBook Pro because?
Why? So why did I get a PC?
Yeah.
Honestly, what pushed me over the edge was the loss of support for the 32-bit client. While the 64-bit is good and is getting there, it is not there yet. And the quality of my play was going down significantly, and it got to the point where I was just too frustrated. And I knew that if I wanted to keep playing and I wanted to enjoy what I was doing, I needed to make the jump.
Yeah. And you were playing with the mouse now, quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. The crashing. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
It's unfortunate. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine.
Back to your...
And a mouse. You're learning to play with a mouse.
Yes. So,
but not any mouse.
I have the Logitech. Yes. a nice mouse. Yes. And it's starting to get good to the point where I was playing today on my school computer with it's a gaming mouse, but it only has 6 buttons on it. And it felt weird. And it felt like, wait a minute.
Only.
So I think I'm getting the muscle memory. So watch out, world. Let's see. I'm still a bit clumsy, but I'm getting there. I'm not jumping puzzle ready, but I'm 100% okay in movement and 75% okay in combat. And really,
you're getting jumping puzzle ready.
I felt better after tonight, after attempting the clock tower. But the combat, my play style, typically when I'm in combat, I bounce around a lot and I strafe a lot. And I just had to figure out how to do that with the mouse and the keyboard and make it work so that it feels comfortable again. It was basically a finger dance that I was doing before, and it's not there. So I'll get it, but yeah. So I completed all of the race achievements in the Crystal Desert maps, and that was super fun. I love the races. Yeah. I thought I wasn't to like them as much. Because I thought they might be more like some of the adventures in Heart of Thorns and just be kind of frustrating. And, but instead I feel like it's a low floor, high ceiling. So easy to get in the race, easy to finish it and feel success, but you can keep pushing yourself to do better, if that makes sense.
You can find the shortcuts or learn. Sorry, Hunter, go on.
I thought they were going to be hard to win.
Yeah,
I thought the competition was going to be fierce, and it is sometimes, but even in, fairly packed races, I find it not terribly difficult to win, as long as you have, the masteries unlocked for your mount.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I wonder how that will change over time as everybody gets their masteries, but right now, it's pretty doable.
Yeah.
I finished most of the Crystal Oasis and Desert Highland achievements. I don't have the Griffin Gold achievements or some of the Highland ones. I haven't done the one that they just fixed, the necklace one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I haven't done that yet.
Did that yesterday.
Yeah. And let's see. So I'm working on the Desolation achievements now and kind of running into the same things that Hunter was talking about. It's going to take a while. I don't know, though. I kind of feel like there needs to be a balance. So I think it's good that they have some achievements that are going to take a really long time to do so that
there's still something that you're working towards in addition to those achievements that you can complete in one evening or something like that. So I feel like they did a good job of not putting that in every map. It's only in one. So it's okay. Yeah. I helped Panther, our guildie, with story. So he's a little over halfway through the story and he hasn't finished it yet. And he really wants to get his griffin. So that was kind of fun. Went back. It's fun to go back and replay and just get to listen. And I feel like the first time I play, I'm watching, but I'm also, you know, I'm listening, but I'm also kind of overwhelmed with all the things that are happening and things I want to see and, you know, killing things. So when you go back and replay, particularly when you're playing with somebody else, you can kind of take a back seat and just soak it all in. So, yeah. I started Halloween achievements yesterday, obviously. And holy AP soup Batman. It's fantastic. So much AP. Mm-hmm. So much AP. All the AP. I'm in a bit of an unofficial AP race with a guildie.
Do they know?
That he didn't know about.
Well, he didn't. But somebody else of significance to him did realize what was going on.
So, they are astute.
They may start retaliating. So, I'm a little bit ahead right now, but we'll see. So it's great that there's all this new AP. I'm super excited to work on it.
She realized that you were racing him in AP because she's racing someone
yes,
in AP.
That is true. So she's also paying attention
yeah,
to
so
the guild
she
board.
Is just as bad as you are.
Yeah. 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 Oh, I believe she did mention as well that I would not catch her, so
But I like that you're like had logged out briefly, and you're like, oh wait, no, I gotta log back in to see where I'm standing. He was like, oh, they haven't been on in a few hours. I'm still good.
But I actually, you know, I like that this year my focus is on AP. Last year my focus was all on gold and on mm-hmm. top bags. And
paid off for you.
Oh, it did. Well, a year later. Well, sort of. But it wasn't... It was so much work, and I remember last year just feeling like, ugh, and actually dreading that they extended Halloween mm-hmm. for a week last year because I felt like, oh, I gotta do this now for another week. But what ended up happening was it just saturated the market with top bags and prices dropped, and I held on to them for a year hoping they would go back up, and then they didn't, and then I sold them yesterday, so I'm done. So now it's all about AP, and it feels a lot more fun.
Yeah, I farmed up quite a few top bags myself, and I opened like 12 of them yesterday, and I got nothing out of them. And it was very disheartening, so you should be glad that you're selling.
Yeah. I got to the first chest in the clock tower tonight.
Huzzah! Yeah.
Yes.
And is that the furthest you've ever got?
Oh yes. As yeah. in, like, when I was playing with my keyboard, I'd get, like, halfway up one of the staircases, and that's it. So, this is by far the farthest I've ever gotten.
Cool.
Yeah. Yep. And, finally, just a comment. So, I tried to get into the lab farm last night, and every LFG that I tried, so you were mentioning earlier that every LFG was saying... no bosses. Well, I wasn't even being picky about that. I couldn't even get into any of the LFGs. Pretty much every
first day,
everyone I tried was a full instance. And, you know, you click on it and my favorite were the ones that would put in the title, you know, not full. Yeah, that's a lie. You know,
but you see, I found that about Auric Basin and some of the like other maps too. Like it just... this is not full, and no, this is, I cannot get in. You're yep. clearly full.
So I really wish that there was some way for squads to fall off of the LFG when the map is full, whether or not the squad is full. So, I don't know.
Or even if it had, if it wasn't, if it didn't drop off, but it was flagged somehow.
Yes.
That the map is full. In which case, if you wanted to join the squad and do the spam, like try to join, you could totally do that if you wanted to, but you, if you had no interest in doing that, you had the indicator, like, I'm not even going to bother trying to join this squad. That would be nice.
Yeah, I like that idea. So that's what I did this week. Cool.
Every other week, we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. This week, we asked, what's your favorite new zone? And the results are in, with Crystal Oasis getting 14% of the votes, Desert Highlands got 26%, Elon Riverlands got 20%, and His Eminence, the Scourge of Vabby, winning the vote with 40%. So,
who did you vote for, you guys?
I voted for Praise Joko.
I voted for Elon Riverlands, but I wish I could change my vote because after playing Vabby much more, it's, you know, oh, I love Vabby. But I love Elon Riverlands too. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of 50-50.
I voted Elon Riverlands even though I love Vabby so much. I am so despondent about the brand, like, and in a role play sort of way. Because it was such a beautiful area. Now the brand's there. I'm like, oh, brand. So it's why I went with Elon Riverlands.
I voted for Praise Joko because it was funny. But
yeah, we had to do some combino for.
Yeah.
You can only have four options in Twitter.
Desolation. Which is dumb. Yeah. But I would have voted for Elon Riverlands because that's pretty much my favorite zone. So much going on there, the lore, the story, and I like the desert there. So yeah, what are you laughing about?
Nothing.
It's Twitch chat, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So we had some Twitter replies to our poll, and at Gord the Norn said, the Dwarven Ruins in Desert Highlands were my favorite by far. Which, that area is
beautiful,
really cool.
Area.
At BurningBeard96 said, Highlands is best for exploration and mechanics, but the nostalgia factor in Vabby was wonderful. And then he went on to say, I loved that the landscape was pretty much the same as Nightfall. I knew once I got out of the mines where to go, and Elon was lovely too, though. So yeah, I can agree with all that. I've been to Vabby a bunch, but I haven't really played there a whole lot. I definitely, so far, prefer Elon Riverlands.
So maybe you can explain to me just a little bit, as someone who didn't play Guild Wars 1, there's a big gap on the map between the Desolation and Vabby. So you kind of step through the portal and bloop, you've moved across the map a fair bit. What's in between? Is that just mountains or something?
Not a whole lot. You know how not every zone in Guild Wars 2 is contiguous, and that was the same for Guild Wars 1. I don't think there was a whole lot there. So I think that was the area at the south of the Desolation in Guild Wars 1 had like a blank spot beside it in the east. I think.
Or sometimes those were missions?
Yeah, true. I would have to go back and look. I can't say off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't either.
Okay, so moving on. At Akabazalol said, I really can't say I like any of them. The zones are good for the story, and they're kind of pretty, but I don't enjoy any of them.
I am baffled by that, but I mean, it's legit if it's an opinion, but I love the new zones.
You have your right to be a sourpuss. That's fine.
And that's coming from you.
So at Sir Exer said, Desert Highlands. Is it bad that my favorite place in a desert expansion is the snowy part?
No. It's a beautiful, beautiful section.
It's valid.
And it transitions so nice. And
Yeah, it's very well done. Especially the dwarven ruins.
Yeah. Aenet has always done snow really, really well, in my opinion, though. So, also, when it's really hot and you're in snowy areas, it's like psychosomatic. Oh, this is refreshing. Mm-hmm. So, that was it. That was our votes.
Yep.
And now it's time for Post of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up, the October 17th release notes. Lots here to talk about. Yes. Halloween! Once again, the gates of the Mad Realm have opened, and Krita's most infamous monarch, Mad King Thorn, has returned to hold court in Lion's Arch. Loyal vassals of the king are strongly encouraged to enjoy the festivities. Meet the denizens.
No, I prefer Denzians.
Denzians, too. I was like, they follow Denzel Washington.
Sounds like a fantasy race.
The denizens of the Mad Realm in events across Krita, tour the Mad Realm itself in the Labyrinth and fearsome Clock Tower, attend to the king's whims in his notorious pastime of Mad King Says, or mat wits and blades against royalty in Ascent to Madness. Completing sets of festival daily achievements will also earn progress towards displaying your holiday spirit in combat with the haunted weapon set. Go ahead.
I have not had a chance to look at the haunted weapon set yet. Have you guys?
No, I haven't.
I thought that was the Black Lion one. Are they new? Actually, I haven't had a chance to look at them
full
either.
It's a set, and they're in the wardrobe, but I haven't looked at them.
And they're not Black Lion, so you can earn them.
Yeah, through the dailies. You do 3 of the dailies, and you get progress towards Eve of the Mad King, I think it is. Oh. And once you're done Eve of the Mad King, it'll reward you 1 weapon, and then you start again towards another weapon.
That's really great. So, able-bodied adventurers are encouraged to meet with Magister Tassie of the Derman Priory in Lion's Arch for an exciting research opportunity.
So that'll be the Mad Memories stuff.
And I actually, I'm really excited because those were from the first Halloween, which came out just shortly after the game launched. You weren't playing at that point, were you?
No, because I started in January of 2011.
I'm excited then because that was... 12? It, yeah. I mean, it's been many years since I've done it, but I remember it being a really good story.
Yeah, it is, I think.
I'm looking forward to it. The Lion's Arch Captain's Council wishes to remind its populace that they are not affiliated with the Krytan monarchy and cannot guarantee the safety of any citizens who choose to dabble in dangerous realms, mad or otherwise. Okay. Ba-ba-ba. So Halloween achievements have been split into 3 categories. There's the Halloween rituals for repeatable achievements, Shadow of the Mad King for one-time achievements related to Magister Tassie's investigation of the Mad King's past, and Lunatic Wardrobe for one-time achievements related to the Lunatic Court's fashion. These achievements are intended to return in future years, so don't worry if you find any of them daunting. You'll be able to continue them during a later Halloween celebration with this year's progress intact.
Yay! Saved progress. Praise Joko.
Praise Joko. Good stuff. A Halloween daily achievement category has been added to the daily group for festival daily achievements. Completing several of these achievements will earn player progress in the repeatable achievement Eve of the Mad King, which rewards weapons from the new haunted set. Now, if we read our show notes ahead of time.
Oh, why would we do that? Actually, something that... you pointed out yesterday, hashtag, was previously, if there were Halloween dailies and you got 3 of them done, they were bundled in with daily dailies. And so you were whinging last night about the fact that you could no longer just do the 3 Halloween dailies and get daily dailies done. They were completely separated from each other now.
Wah, wah. Yeah. Where are we at? The Mad King's Lunatic Court has provided a series of armor refitted to proudly display a wearer's allegiance to their king. Earn your choice of armor through achievements in the Lunatic Wardrobe category, or purchase crafting recipes from Halloween vendors to update your look at your leisure. And I believe the recipes are corn cob currency. Is that correct?
Yeah. Cost one or two corn cobs, and they're from merchants found in various places. One is right next to the Mad King's chest after Mad King says.
I think the chest is there 100% of the time, though.
Yeah. Have any of you, have either of you looked at the actual recipe itself to see what it entails?
I did, but I forget what. I remember there was five gossamer patches, and that was the most expensive part. Good. The most offensive part to me.
Offensive. Yeah. Like you went from expensive to offensive.
Yeah, I don't remember what else it had. I do. You do get like a free set of the skins. Because if you do the achievements, most of them are pretty easy. I mean, Mad King's Clock Tower is kind of hard, so you might have to craft that one. I think that's the coat box. Is that the coat? No, Ascent of Madness is the coat box, right?
No, because I have the coat box.
So, yeah, Ascent of Madness. So, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I thought you meant Clock Tower. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, a new race. New race has been added. Not what you think.
Whoa. I was getting very excited for a second.
Thank you.
A new
race
mount.
Event.
I'm going to type mount race event.
Has been added.
Jeez.
The Mad King's Labyrinth. Visitors are encouraged to show off their riding skills against a variety of local competitors and hostile vassals. The local competitors are hilarious. Love their names.
Yeah, definitely take a moment to look at who the local competitors are.
They are great.
Yeah. The Mad King Stuart has been tasked with collecting back revenue for the King's Treasury at the center of the Mad King's Labyrinth. Visitors can now temporarily commission a variety of helpful services for a small fee, including a merchant, bank access, and complimentary refreshments.
Well, that's nice.
Yes. I believe it's a gold, right?
Yeah.
Is that the
gold for merchant, a gold for bank access, and 5 gold for the food, I think?
That's a lot.
That's a lot of... That better be pretty good food.
Steak. I haven't tried it, so I can't say.
King Thorn has graciously deigned to allow gliding and mounts in his labyrinth. Please do not glide, jump, float, teleport, or otherwise traverse over the maze walls in an attempt to cheat at the maze, damage the scenery, or harass the royal family. Trespassers will be punished.
But you,
so you can glide over.
Over, yeah.
When you're coming from the waypoint. Mm-hmm. But you can't, like, springer over or something like that when
you can't
within.
Get close.
Yeah.
And if you do, it'll usually port you straight to the Labyrinthine Horror.
Yep.
And it'll chase you around.
I did not know that.
It's awful.
That's great. Oh, I wonder how much when whoever came up with that idea and was implementing it, how much they cackled. while implementing that, because if it were me, I would do it a lot.
The Lunatic Inquisition has returned with a number of bug fixes. With
I have no
idea as to what those were, but
that's an interesting.
They've been fixed.
Okay,
yeah, the Inquisition is back. So
all right,
that's good.
New Halloween themed guild decorations have been added. Note: spectral visitations and or haunting are not covered under warranty.
Well, I'm returning these.
Seriously.
Okay, so I actually made one of them. It was the ghostly
spooky
dining table.
Ooh.
And a spirit said something like, I want a ghostly table for my office in the guild hall. So I was like, all right, I'll make one. And I made it, and it like floats and wobbles. And has a lot of, you know, ghost effects going on. It's slightly see-through. And it's completely inappropriate for her office, apparently.
But it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
New daily Halloween daily achievements have been added, and their rotation has been updated. as we covered before, and rare new miniatures can be found in Halloween Champion bags by completing the Clock Tower and from Halloween vendors.
Ooh. Okay. I haven't gotten any of those.
No, I haven't either. And just a note that Halloween will be active until November 7th. Your Mad King says, have a happy Halloween. I'm really grateful that they published that date at the beginning before it started. We all knew exactly how long we had. I hope they don't extend it an extra week.
Are you implying that you are the Mad King?
Maybe. I do have superpowers, so... So, you never know.
I had actually, I forgot to mention the Lunatic Court armor. This is going to sound petty, ungrateful. I mean, I love them all. Like, I do really like that they're individual armor sets. You can mix and match with everything else. I love that. But one of the costumes in Guild Wars 1 that I loved was the Lunatic Court finery. Do you remember that, Hunter? For the ladies' version, it had like this really big bustle on the skirt, and I just loved that one.
The bump on the back, okay.
Yeah, I love it was my very favorite costume in the game. so I was like, when I saw Lunatic Court, I'm like, oh, super excited. I'm like, oh well, this is good, but I missed the bustle of that one. But yeah, that's me being ungrateful.
So then there were a number of changes that came into being across the world. Some polishing. The Desert Highlands, there was a bug fixed that prevented players from finding Stable Master Unja's necklace in Elan Riverlands. And we all rejoiced. Huzzah, huzzah,
huzzah,
huzzah.
What was that one for?
It's achievement points.
Okay.
it's just a little collection thing. You just go up and get the necklace and... there it is.
Cool.
But the problem was that initially it was only spawning one necklace per map for everybody on the map to scrabble for. So it was not good. Lucius Anvilblade at Augury Shadow has finished his prototype weapon, the Vlast Avenger. It's a rifle that uses honed slivers of Vlast ammo, which places stacks of Vlast Vengeance on targets. Adisa, in the Astrolate Barrens, has been honing the slivers of Vast that have been turned in. Bring enough honed slivers to Lucius, and he'll equip you with his latest invention. Have you had a chance
to check this out?
Yeah,
no, I kind of forgot about this. Yeah. We'll have to see.
So Adisa is the Heart Vendor, so I don't know who Lucius Anvilblade is. Is he the Char that you talked to?
Sounds like a Char name.
Kid that goes off to the camp and yells at the people for scamming the ascended followers?
Possibly. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Forgotten priests no longer guard the Flameseeker verses in Augury Rock.
Yeah. After we finish that.
I'm not done. So that's good. I still have the third.
And I've not done it at all, so.
The third level. Yeah. The warning announcement before the brand retakes control of Augury Rock is messaged properly. Oh, well, what does it say now? You're going to be kicked out in 1 second? I mean, sorry. Salty.
Saucy hashtag.
Well, because it gives you a message saying, you know, Augury Rock will be, you know, closed in 10 seconds. And then then you get like 2 seconds later, 5 seconds, and then you're out right away. So I don't know. It's not, the timing is a little off.
That's hilarious.
They should have given like a 60-second warning, to be honest.
Right. It would be much nicer because you can be in the middle of something and then you're done. Chick Check will correctly drop Shoddy's boots for all players who attack him. I didn't run into this bug. It dropped for me, but I definitely saw that was a frustration for people in map chat and on Twitter. So I'm glad that they addressed that.
I was doing this with Cal. Mm-hmm. And we went over to Chick Jack. I was like, okay, so you're going to have to fight this guy like 3-4 times, and then eventually you'll get... and then before I finished speaking, I got the boots. Let's go.
Ouch. All right. So those were changes for Elan Riverlands. Now to Ember Bay. The Chalice of Tears jumping puzzle now displays visible effects to track which checkpoint you reached last.
That's so nice.
Yeah, but how do you...
What is that?
What
does it look like? A little, like a number next to, you know, like on your...
Or the, like maybe buffs. Like a flag down, or maybe the flag. I haven't checked it, but a visual indicator is nice. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Mm. And then in the domain of Vabi, added an achievement for defeating the champion branded Leyline Anomaly in Dasha Uplands. Is that how you say it?
No idea.
Dasha.
So there's a mini dungeon in the north, very extreme northeast of the map in the branded area.
I don't think I've been there. I think it's still fogged for me.
Yeah. I stumbled into it and made it to the end and found the... anomaly, but I was alone and it was a champion and I was losing. I wasn't dead, so I just left. And so now there's an achievement. I'm gonna have to drag you guys in and help me out with it.
Okay.
Absolutely. And added an achievement for defeating the Serpent's Ire legendary boss event.
I don't think I've done that either.
That's the meta event in the brand.
Oh yes, in the brand. Yes. Mm-hmm. I did that with Festy.
And me. I was there.
And you. And you.
and some other guy.
I had to mention Festy because it was
important here.
It was due to Festy's keen observation and kindness that we were able to get into her event right at the end of it and get credit for it. So and
sweet.
Possibly Craig from Ireland. He was there. I don't know if he was organizing it, but apparently he's got a lot of experience with the event, so...
Ah, good. So on to the hero panel. A new mounts tab has been added to the hero panel. As with other panels, you can preview all of your mounts here, as well as select mounts to ride. The mount panel contains a unique checkbox, use default dies. When checked, all mounts will be previewed.
You do well.
I'm going to do this one again. The mounts panel contains a unique checkbox. Use default dies. When checked, all mounts will be previewed with their original dies rather than custom ones.
It's basically the same thing as the glider panel where you choose which glider you're going to use.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And on to some general changes. Consumables associated with the Thirst Slayer achievement now have consume all functionality.
Can I get a refund on my carpal tunnel?
Yeah, I might go finish Thirst Slayer at some point due to this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like 50,000 drinks or something.
It is crazy. They did not increase an awful lot this year at the trading post, so you're probably better off. You would have. I would
have
thought it would
take... I don't have to buy things off the trading post. I can go to a vendor inside of Craigstead who sells alcohol for like 7 karma per alcohol.
No. Oh.
This is Thirst Slayer.
Oh, I was thinking the Winter's Day one.
Not the Winter's Day.
Gotcha. All right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 64-bit clients. Added support for DPI-aware UI scaling. Oh, this is the scourge of Hunter. Yes. There is now an option in graphics setting to enable / disable it.
Yeah, so...
Air your grievances, Hunter.
Okay. So, DPI scaling is basically a setting that recognizes what size UI you are using in Windows. So if you are using 100% UI size, that's normal, and nothing will change. But if you are using a different UI size, I sit like 4 or 5 feet away from my monitor, just for comfort. And so that makes it hard to, you know, see words. So I increased my UI size to 125%. That makes all my Guild Wars 2 stuff 125% big. So every time I log in, I have to go to the options, go to graphics, and uncheck DPI scaling because it doesn't save my choice there, which is annoying.
It's odd that it doesn't save it, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, that seems very peculiar that it would not.
I should probably report it. I don't know.
I would. It sounds like it could be a bug, actually.
Mm.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. The lay-infused sand and eyes of Cormyr have been added to material storage.
That did not... There was a lot of hullabaloo, really, when you think about it. And it was like, oh, well, they didn't let that stand for long. They were like, okay, you know, move it in.
It was really cheap.
Mm, I'm still confused as to why those two materials were chosen to not have material storage, because they are common to get.
Are they used for a whole lot? Are they used in scribing?
I don't think so. I haven't looked through the new decorations much.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Eyes of Cormyr have the use for that griffin item you get at the start of the griffin collection.
Yeah, wish.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get 3 wishes a day for 25 Eyes of Cormyr each. And you can use the lay-infused sand when you talk to that traveling NPC that travels from zone to zone. And
Elise,
she sells...
Right?
Yeah, Elise.
There's a traveling NPC.
Oh my gosh, Alona!
I have no idea.
Yeah, she's part of an achievement. I forget the details about her, to be honest. But I know that she uses lay-infused sand for something. I can't really recall off the top of my head.
Cool.
Yeah.
But aside from those two uses, I can't think of much that they're used for. Probably for crafting pacifier skins or something.
Maybe. And finally, a bug was fixed in which some pacifier reward skins were hidden in the wardrobe until they were earned.
Yay!
Yay!
I thought that was an intended thing to keep them super secret. So.
Which skins are they?
It was the...
Were the Funeri hid?
Maybe, but it also the Elonian or Sunspear armor, the one step up was hidden.
Mm.
Mm. Okay.
And I can't remember the exact name or if the name of it was different specifically, but yeah, you couldn't find it in the wardrobe.
And in our personal story updates, we got added a conversation option on the Lion Guard aircrew aboard the Phoenix Dawn in Lion's Arch to send players who have completed the Sparking the Flame chapter of Path of Fire to the Free City of Amnoon. So basically, they're just not forcing people to do the story to get their other characters into Amnoon.
That's nice.
Is that also addressing some people who did not get the waypoint? So this happened to a student of mine.
Mm.
They completed the story, and then they exited right out, and they didn't get a waypoint in the zone, and they actually ended up redoing the story to get in.
Ouch. Yeah. Annoying.
That could very well be hashtag. More that than the other. The other's just kind of a happy byproduct, maybe.
And in the Way Forward chapter, Sadizi no longer tries to follow you up for the jumping puzzle. So Sadizi is one of the exalted.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it would be really embarrassing if they were able to do it and you couldn't.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a jumping puzzle in that instance. So, patch notes are fun sometimes. In the Departing chapter, they added a repair forge to the Domain of the Lost. So, hashtag
can't
should
imagine
be happy
why.
About that.
I'm going to just sit here silently.
Okay. They adjusted the position of the checkpoint during the Eater of Souls fight. I think it was probably too close to the actual aggro range of the Eater of Souls. They fixed an exploit during the Eater of Souls fight.
Uh-oh.
That's like me being on the rock? Do you think
can
they
we not
to
do
the
that
podcast?
Anymore? Although
you ruined it for everybody.
They did nerf him a fair bit, so I think it's doable. Yeah.
And actually, all over Twitter, anytime I would see people talking about this fight, there were people commenting, you need to bug them against here. And
yes.
Stuff like
so,
that. So
get
it
him
wasn't
caught
just...
in the cage, get him caught in the rock, get him caught in the tree. Yeah.
And during the small victory portion of the story. A box has been provided for Assyrian commanders to stand on for a key story moment.
What?
Because you do that speech and you stand in front of a podium.
Oh, right.
who was it? Was it? It was one of the talking script guys, I think, that posted that on Twitter. Like, here's me giving my speech. And it's just all you can see is the podium. Here's the view from the crowd. It doesn't look like anyone's standing there.
So moving on, choice-based NPC gadgets around Amnoon have been replaced with real NPCs, and they can now be seen actively defending the city from the Forge. I don't know what any of that means. Do you guys know?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you were
now. I was reading. There was a question or in chat I was reading. Yeah.
By, they can now be seen actively defending.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
Choice-based gadgets. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there was like some sort of fireworks launcher at the top? Water balloon launcher? What is it?
What is it? Yeah, what's that child balloon launcher thing?
Yeah, it's the balloon launcher, but that's during the Blitz specifically.
And why would you use it on the Forged? So I have no idea what this is referring to, but moving on.
You know what would really cheese off a Forge, though, is being taken down by a child's water balloon launcher.
Or being born in the 40s when saying cheesed off was popular.
Cheesed off is a legit phrase now.
I'm just glad I'm not the only one who gets called out for old timey phrases.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you two are quite the pair.
No, I'm pair. She's hashtag.
God, let's not get into puns. All right. So some new ambient dialogue has been added for one choice branch. So there's a couple small choice branches in the story. So I assume this has to do with that. So I'm going to have to check those out, I guess, at some point. And moving on to profession skills, just I got a few things to talk about. Necromancer. Mm-hmm. Manifest Sandshade fixed a bug that allowed strikes from this skill to hit from multiple sandshades on the same target. Desert Trout fixed a bug that was preventing this skill from processing Manifest Sandshade upon casting. And a big undocumented change was Doomfire only activates on Manifest Sandshade use, and Manifest Sandshade is not expected to activate on each pulse of Desert Trout, but instead activate on each activation of a shade ability. The previous functionality, while strong, was unintentional. We'll be looking to add some power back into the kit in the next balance iteration, which was not today, but needed to fix this bug as soon as possible. We'll also probably remove the spend some of your life force from the description of MSS. Thanks for the well-worded question. Carl, so hashtag explain all this to us.
So that was gosh, that was a dev response the groan of necros across the land.
I heard it while I was at work and not even in game.
We knew this was going to happen. So basically, it wasn't an exploit, but it wasn't working as intended, and strikes from Manifest Sandshade were bebopping around and hitting multiplicity. That's not a word.
That is a Michael Keaton movie from the 1990s.
Yes. Yes.
They were kind of rocketing around and hitting on the same target and getting too much DPS, or more DPS than was intended. Now, this was fantastic if you were, Shroud and looking for high DPS. Shroud was getting a lot of attention, particularly in raids and just out in PvE in general. It was wonderful. I love playing Shroud. I am not very careful about my rotations, and I do not have everything spec'd out perfectly, I'm sure. But I definitely noticed switching from Reaper to Shroud, an uptick in my DPS. Scourge, an uptick in my DPS. So it remains to be seen how this nerf affects me specifically, but I know that across Scourges overall, I've just seen a lot of people feeling frustrated, and like Necros get the short end of the stick. But, you know, I understand game design, there's got to be balance. So, and you got to balance very, very carefully. You tweak one little thing and it can, you know, change everything else. So they obviously did not want people to start running 10-man raids of Scourges and that become the meta and nobody ever play the other classes, or that's just, that's it. So I think they said multiple places that Scourge was intended to be a support role.
I did notice that people like sort of freaked out when they described it as a support role, and they were like, it's support role? Ugh, what WTF? What are you talking about? There's a lot of barrier on Scourge, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I love.
And I like playing it that way. I like playing it as a support. So I had my rage this, you know, when I first saw it, and now I'm cautiously
you having rage is fine.
Optimistic, and I'm trying to trust that, you know, ArenaNet is doing all this for a purpose and for the greater good.
Okay. Moving on to Ranger, Rockazel. Kick. Strikes from this skill have been increased from 2 to 5. Damage per strike has been reduced by 53%. Vulnerability per strike has been changed from 3 stacks for 6 seconds to 1 stack for 8 seconds. Rockazel. Charge. The damage from this skill has been reduced by 48%. And Rockazel fixed a bug in which this pet hit down enemies multiple times with its charge attack. So,
That sounded fun.
So the problem here was this was being abused like crazy, and it was really overpowered, and people complained, and it got nerfed. So there we are. And moving on to other stuff, the Crystal Desert War Track in PvP and Structured Player versus Player has been changed. The Sunspear Weapon Box has been renamed the Ilonian Weapon Box. And rather than giving skins, the box now gives rare weapons. The number of Mystic Clovers given out by the final box has been reduced to 2 on the repeatable version of the War Track.
Oh, repeatable version. Okay.
Right, so when POF launched, people noticed right away that the Ilonian, the Sun Spear Weapon Box, what it was used to be called, was pretty crappy. It just gave out Ilonian weapon skins, and those were worthless, so getting them was, like, the worst. These changes here are terrible, basically, because it doesn't really fix anything. Like, you get an Ilonian weapon now, so that's worth 25 silver tops, and, also, they took out 2 Mystic Clovers, so that's great.
But on the repeatable, does that mean that the first time through it gives a different amount, though?
It must. I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Haven't finished it yet. I'm like 3/4 of the way through.
The wording seems to indicate that the first time through you get something different. But...
I think that would be fair.
Yeah. So, also in World vs. World... ruin territories have been changed so that once a team earns Bloodlust for that map, all territories will switch to being owned by that team. If a different team captures a territory, it will be owned by that team. If the capture point decays, it will now switch to the team that earned Bloodlust.
That's a Bloodlust, big change.
Yeah, Bloodlust gets another sort of boon to having it, it's a big advantage for anyone that has garrisons, because you can now glide through the ruins more effectively. And, it was kind of useless the way it was before, because the ability to glide through the ruins was gone as soon as the ruins decay, and they decay, like, pretty quickly. So, yeah, it's a good change. The wing effect on the Sublime Mistforged Triumphant Hero's chest armor can now be dyed, and I'm like... I really want the Sublime Mistforged Triumphant Hero's chest armor. I'm working on it. But technically, I am, like, rank 806, and you need to be rank 2000.
Oh.
And it took me 5 years to get to rank 806. So...
And you do a fair amount of You do more world versus world than basically almost anyone I know.
True, but I haven't been in there in like a month either, so.
It is true.
Other changes, certificates of heroics can now be purchased with testimonies of heroics as well as proofs of heroics. So
that's a lot of heroics.
Yeah. We did not need a third thing called something of heroics, but apparently we have them now.
This is the podcast of heroics.
The heroic podcast.
Possible title. And now it's time for Alona.
Yay, my turn. Because I get the Blackling Trading Company gem store updates.
Funny how that worked out.
You always give it to me anyway. Whatever you've divvied up the show, that's what happens. So for new items and promotions, a new Halloween package of spooky mounts. Spooky mounts is available for a limited time in the style category for 1,600 gems. With that, you get mount skins for all 5 mounts. And one thing that is not mentioned anywhere here, but I noticed instantly when I went to see what you could do with dyeing them, these come with 4 dye channels. 4.
Yeah, I've heard that quite a bit from people looking them 4. Over.
So good.
Also, you can't just buy one. You have to buy all 5. Yay!
Wait. Yeah.
No, that sucks.
I don't disagree. I think they should be available individually. I love them all, and I'm more than happy to buy them as a bundle. But they probably should be individual as well. And if they did that halfway through, I'm not sure. There might be some people who'd be irritated, but I'd be okay with it because I was going to buy them all anyway.
Of course you were.
Yeah, look at them. And 4 dye channels. I'm super excited about that. And they're... I'm like, God, dye all the things. It's so good.
Too bony for my taste.
With the dye channels, can really modify how stark
that contrast for my taste.
Plus, the flames that come up out of the kind of the, you know, the where the mane would be.
Mm-hmm. It's also dyeable.
It's dyeable, and it's a really cool aura effect.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty sweet. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what else is coming down the pipe for some of these. In any event, there's also 2 additional bag slots may now be purchased from the upgrades category of the gem store for 400 gems. And each character can now unlock up to 10 bag slots at this time. So I have not... Have either of you done that and locked?
No, not yet.
No?
No, I haven't bought a single bag slot, to be honest.
So over a year ago, when bag slots were on sale, I bought like a 3-pack of them, and they're still in my mail.
What? Why?
Because I didn't know who to give them to. I just bought them because they were on sale.
You're always on Alona Horea. She's your main character.
But she had maxed out her bag slots. But gotcha. Now I can yank the... I can use at least 2 of them for that now. Mm-hmm. In any event. For improvements, or under improvements, the Black Lion chest has been updated to the Lunatic Court chest and can be previewed for a full list of its contents. The luxurious, or at least valuable, the Evan Nashblade trick-or-treat bag has been added as the new guaranteed item. And so, we were talking about that a little bit earlier in the show. It's like there's a variety of things. It's a top bag, but it gives a lot of different things than...
Oh, like a bit of gold here and there. Yeah, I still feel like it's terrible.
Like I said, I used 5 keys. I'm not sure I'd go out of my way to use any more for this particular one. Partly because the new mini spooky mounts pack is available as an uncommon drop, and I got that right away. So, and that's the one thing out of here that I was pretty interested in.
So, what's in the mini spooky mounts pack? Is it just all 5 mounts?
The mini, yeah, it's the spooky mount versions, but mini.
Okay,
right.
I see. Yeah.
A new Fallen Balthazar package with the Fallen Balthazar outfit and Fallen Balthazar helm is available as an uncommon drop. Oh, maybe I will go in again. For the duration of the Lunatic Court chest.
I haven't seen the outfit yet, so I can't comment.
I actually haven't either, but, you know.
Hashtag?
outfits. Nope. A new Endless Desert Mystery Tonic is available as a rare drop. The Hydra Staff and the Jackal Pup Backpack remain available as uncommon drops for the duration. The Grasping Phantom Glider returns as an uncommon drop for the duration of the Lunatic Court Chest. And, I think, is this the last one? Yes, it is. The Shadow of the Mad King weapon set and the Blood and Madness weapon set are now available as super rare drops for the duration of the Lunatic Court Chest. And so that was it for the Black Lion Trading Company. There were some updates to the Mac client. I was going to read this and then let hashtag have her way with this. The ambient occlusion issue, which was inadvertently causing a glow effect around the player in certain lighting, has been fixed. As well, the ambient occlusion no longer can get stuck and cause a copy of the occlusion effect to remain present on screen. And more full screen resolutions are now available.
So I think the ambient occlusion might be responsible for the blinking trees that I shared before on Twitter and things like that. And it was still happening up to, you know, a week and a half ago when I was still on my laptop. But I played today, actually, on a Mac Pro. And no problems. So I didn't see any blinking or anything like that. And right away changed the resolution. And I was so happy to have that because that was my biggest frustration moving from the 32 to the 64 was the lack of full screen resolution options. So now I have that maxed out on my Mac at work, which is a 27-inch, so it was really great.
You had said that the graphics quality didn't seem to be as good on the 64-bit from the 32. Do these resolution settings fix that?
They do help a lot.
Okay.
However, I'm still getting less FPS on the 64-bit than on the 32, which means that I have my graphics turned down even more than I did on the 32. So it's all related. I think once some of the things that are causing the FPS to drop on the client are fixed, then, you know, your graphics, obviously you can bump up your graphics. But right now it's a question of performance versus looks, and, you know, you got to make that choice.
Cool.
And there were some late notes as well, and one of the things was they modified the mount turning behavior for better control on ledges and other narrow spaces. So this partially reflects some of the stuff I was talking about with just being able to scooch a bit to the left or right, especially on ledges.
It?
Not entirely, but I did notice it was like definitely felt better. So I don't have any complaints. I'd like to use it a bit more and see what happens.
Yeah. The only one I've noticed it, not the only one, but the one I noticed it on the most is the Springer. Find it the trickiest to maneuver in when you're trying to make incremental or turn around or adjustments. So I haven't tried it since these notes came out.
Well, it happens on the Springer more often because you're on ledges more often with the Springer because you're jumping up stuff and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They removed the forced cooldown of mounting skills after using the dismount skill. So basically you can switch mounts faster.
Yay.
They fixed a bug in which Banners of Dynastic Reckoning was not awarded to some players if you completed the story for Path of Fire and did not receive the backpack. Mm-hmm. Visit a Path of Fire map to receive a mail with the missing item. And that's
super important, last little tip there. Well, because hashtag got hers, and I'm like, well, I'm not getting mine. How come? Where's my backpack that I probably won't put on any character? Where is it? And then when we were going through the notes tonight for the show, I'm like, oh, casually log in. Casual Oasis, look, there it is.
I didn't even realize I was missing that backpack, and it's
I didn't either.
Collections are going to be something I work on after I finish Vabby achievements, so I probably would have noticed then, but yeah. The Hare's Foot Herb node in Desert Islands now provides additional herbs.
Yay!
Not really. That's for a collection or something, right?
It is, but you get ruined plant fiber if you don't.
Right.
And that's frustrating if you have, like, more calcum or better tools, and you're like, I'm going to ruin plant fiber.
Yeah.
In the Elon Riverlands, they fixed the imposter syndrome achievement so that it's now awarded for defeating any veteran or elite clone of yourself during the doppelganger event.
Which I've never done.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a achievement. I've done that a few times.
So, no, you get it if you only got it before if you were the doppelganger.
Mm.
So, it was, and I got it, but it was quite hard to get if you're in a busy map and only one person gets it. So during that event, there are also, you know, veterans and elite clones that pop up of all the people who are in the event. So this opens it up more.
Is it a hidden achievement? Because I looked through my achievements and I didn't find it. Okay. Yeah.
I need to do that event. No, I have not experienced this.
You should play Guild Wars 2 more. Maybe.
What's this guild? There's a first one, and this is the second one.
And in the Desolation, the conversation with the Order of Shadows Redeemer Kassan at Torment's Watch has been fixed to properly recognize player progress.
So basically, a good sign.
Yeah, basically you had to, I think, do the event with him if you forgot to talk with him afterwards the first time, and you would have to do the event again and then talk to him again. So that would get you the achievement for that. And finally, the Mini Raptor Hatchling Reward chest has a new icon and it is now account bound. So I think you're still getting them out of the Black Lion chest, even though it was removed as the special item.
Oh, it's a rare. No. Yeah.
Wait. Hatchling reward chest.
I'm not sure.
I'm on the wiki and it says that it's a rare one and it contains Black Lion miniature claim tickets and Black Lion chest keys. Unlock all raptor hatching miniatures in your wardrobe.
Ooh.
That's the collection though.
Right.
The achievement. Okay. Finally, we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild Wars 2 happenings and propose a toast to their existence. This episode, we want to call attention to Pink Day in LA 2017, and their website is pinkday.gamersgivingback.com. And on their site, they say, it's that time of year again to don your pink-colored clothing and armor and head to Lion's Arch in the games of Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2. If you haven't heard by now, where have you been? Pink Day in LA is returning once again on October 21st. Oh, I actually need to turn this on right here on the show. On October 21st at 12 to 6 p.m. CST, it is an online charity event hosted by Gamers Giving Back with the help of countless volunteers in support of cancer awareness and to raise funds for cancer research. If this is your first Pink Day, then sit back and let us explain what it is all about. Pink Day is a day Gamers Giving Back sets aside to help raise funds for the Canadian Cancer Society in the name of fighting cancer. All donations from Pink Day in LA benefit an international research fund. And of course, if you do donate to the cause, you have a chance to win some pretty neat swag and prizes. The event will take place within Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2. For anyone who can't be in-game on the day, you can still tune in to Gwen Radio, so Guild Wars Entertainment Radio stream, to take part and win prizes. And something that is not mentioned here, this is the 10th year for Pink Day in LA, and it's a fun event for a good cause.
Yeah, pretty crazy that it's been going on this long and kept alive.
Mm-hmm. And I found on their media kit, they did send us the a little banner that we've had up on the stream for the entire show, but I did pull out a section from their poster which does talk about how, you know, if you make a donation, you're eligible for some prizes. And the one thing, there was a hash, there's a, an asterisk there. That is if you make a $10 or more donation, you'll be eligible for winning prizes. So that is happening this coming Saturday. Is October 21st to Saturday,
yeah,
or
it's
Sunday?
Saturday.
Saturday. So that is pretty awesome. And I, it's always fun. I try to make it out to Pink Day in LA.
And that is it. That is the show. So to get in touch with us, you can contact me, hashtag, on Twitter, at #thetag, that's H-A-A-S-H, the tag, or sig.1735 in-game. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter, or you can engage Alona at OneBigPair, or in-game at OneBigPair.1249. You can listen directly from our website at hostsofascalon.com, grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app, or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. And don't forget, we live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on November 1st.
That was some quick movement, Alona.
Thankfully, I have a calendar on my desk, and I'm like...
So put that on your calendars, just like we have. Good show, everyone. We are good enough. We are smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like us.
I love how you took a pause to read the full line to make sure you weren't going to embarrass yourself. And then you said it.
How do you know I did? Isn't this what we had last time? We had something like this.
I put it in the template.
Yeah. I changed that. There. That was my change last time.
People, I changed like it again.
Some of us.
Right. That's kind of mean to suggest that people don't like me. Just saying.
How do you know it's might've... you?
I think it might be me.
Because you two don't team up against me.